Right, there's a lot going on in that passage, a huge amount. I mean, in a nutshell, Jesus, remember from last week, Jesus has just made this extraordinary claim that he is one with the Father and he is equal with the Father. And kind of what he's doing now is calling witnesses to validate that claim. And he's doing that because in the law, Deuteronomy 19, it says that a matter must be established by two or three witnesses. So he calls two or three witnesses. He calls John the Baptist. He calls the miracles, the works that he's doing. And he calls the scriptures and says, look, all the way through the Bible, the Father has been at work by the Spirit, testifying and confirming the truth of what I'm saying to you. Now, I had to make a bit of an editorial decision. And we're just going to rest really on that third one, not because the other two aren't important, but because we're reading through the Bible together as a church this year. And I thought, isn't that a brilliant context just to stop and to make sure we're doing it properly? Because, you know, there are good and bad ways of reading the Bible, and Jesus is picking the Pharisees up and saying, look, the Bible... And by Bible, Jesus actually has in mind primarily at this stage the Old Testament, the Scriptures. The Scriptures testify to me. But the way you guys are reading them, actually, it's blinding you to who I am and it's causing problems in you being able to follow me. So in the context of us reading through the Bible together, with this passage in front of us, I want to just really focus on what Jesus has to teach us about how to read the Scriptures together. So I'm going to pray for us, and then that's our agenda for the next few minutes. So Father, we want to thank you for this book. We want to thank you for the way that over the years your Spirit inspired people and carried people along and put in their mouths at the very words that you wanted to use to convey the deep spiritual realities that we read about as we go through this book. We want to thank you for the way your Spirit has preserved the Scriptures throughout the years. And we want to thank you for the way that we have this book open in front of us this morning, and that we can gather like this and spend time considering it and reflecting on it together. So we pray for that same Spirit to be here, to, like we were saying a few minutes ago, to open the eyes of our heart to see in the Scriptures what you want us to see, what you designed the Bible to be about, holding forth this glorious portrait of Jesus. So help us, Lord. Help us this morning, but help us also as a church as we're reading through the Bible over this year. Would you help us to hear what Jesus says and to actually read the Bible in the light of his teaching? We ask it in his name. We ask it for his honor and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Okay, so let me just say, if you're not doing the Bible read through with us this year, get out! No, don't. Just kidding. Quite the opposite. Please don't be sitting feeling guilty. Don't be sitting feeling condemned. Don't be sitting feeling that somehow you're not really a part of what's going on at MIE. It was an invitation, and actually just an awful lot of people have taken it up. Far more than I anticipated, to be honest. But, you know, if you're not doing it, today would be a great day to start. You know, we finished Leviticus yesterday. And you know what? Today is a good day to start the Bible read-through with MIE. Although Numbers has a few tricky bits in it as well. But we'll cross that bridge as we get to it. But, you know, do feel like picking it up. And if you've missed a few days, maybe in the last week or so, you know, just dropped a chapter or two of Leviticus, then don't worry, all right? Please don't worry. It's so easy, isn't it, when we're doing these things to get so far behind and to think, oh, there's no point, I just give up. I'm like, please don't give up, all right? Just pick it up again today. Numbers 1 and 2 are the reading for today, so just slot back into it and keep going. But like I said, you know, with that in the background, the fact that as a church, we are reading through the scriptures. And at the moment, we're reading through the Old Testament. I think it's just a really interesting context in which to listen to what Jesus has to say about how to read the Bible. Because the Pharisees are making an absolute hash of it, right? I mean, you know, you remember from last week's reading, Jesus is saying, guys, the problem with you is you don't even know who God is. You don't even know who God is. And actually, when all the way through the Gospels, Jesus has this kind of running battle with the Pharisees. And over again, he's telling them, you don't understand the Scriptures, and you don't teach the Scriptures. Which is kind of weird, because that's their job, right? Their job is to teach the Bible, to teach the Old Testament. And Jesus is like, you're missing the point completely. And you know, he calls them blind guides. And he says, look, your teachings are merely human rules. And he's like, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your own traditions. Right, so just over and over again, Jesus is alerting us to the fact that the Pharisees, they're really not getting what the Scriptures are about. And it's worth us hearing that. Because I think sometimes we think, oh, you know, the Pharisees, they kind of got it. And Jesus is coming along and he's doing something new. He's doing something a little bit different. And it's just the Pharisees haven't quite caught up with that. And that's the wrong way to understand a situation. The situation is the Pharisees are completely off-piste. The Pharisees have no idea what the Old Testament is about. And Jesus is coming and saying, look, seriously, guys, I was kind of involved in writing it, so I kind of know what it is. Let me tell you. Let me show you what this is all about. And that's interesting because not all interpretations of the Bible are equal. And we need to hear that. Because I think we're so used to so many different people having so many different ways of reading the Bible and interpretations and understandings, and we kind of fall into the trap of going, well, you know, maybe you can't really know what the Bible is about, or maybe we sort of all have to listen to one another and take everything that everybody has to say about it seriously. Jesus isn't playing that game, right? Jesus is like, guys, you're wrong. End the discussion. Move on. All right? And it's just worth being aware that there is a right way to understand the Bible, and all the other ways are wrong, you know? And we're just going to pick up on this, because Jesus' act, this is the crux of the conversation Jesus is having with the Pharisees, certainly in the second half of the reading that David's just brought us from John 5. And we're just going to listen to Jesus. We're just going to listen to him as he challenges the way the Pharisees are reading the Bible, as he exposes the mistakes they are making, and as he tells them how to read the Bible properly. And I want us to like listen in on this, because do you know what would be an absolute tragedy is if 2,000 years later we were still making the same mistake as we read through the Bible. So we're going to listen to this, but there is a bit of an agenda. And it is that let's make sure that we're not reading the Bible, the Old Testament, at least, the way the Pharisees did, that we actually read it in the light of what Jesus has to teach us. Now, the Pharisees, as far as I can see from Jesus' teaching, are kind of making three basic mistakes, which Jesus exposes. And then he says, right, now let me tell you how to do this properly. So I'm going to just highlight for us those three mistakes. And then we're just going, just following Jesus' argument. We're going to highlight the three mistakes, and then we're going to listen to what Jesus says about how to read the Old Testament scriptures properly. So the first mistake they make is highlighted really in verse 39 of our reading, John chapter 5, verse 39, where Jesus says, look, guys, you diligently study the scriptures. All right, we'll come back to that in a minute, because that's quite an interesting thing. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you have eternal life. Now, let me tell you what I think is going on here. You can take us away and decide whether you think I'm onto something or not. But I think the Pharisees are making the same mistake with the Bible that we, I think, often see people making with baptism and communion. All right? Now, I'm going to explain it in reference to communion, partly because we've just had it. But then when I've kind of explained what the mistake is, we'll see how I think the Pharisees are making the same mistake. You see, there's a temptation, isn't there, to think that I come to the Lord's table, and I take part in the Lord's Supper, I take the bread, and I take the wine, and because I'm doing this thing, because I'm doing this religious thing, this spiritual thing, then something must be happening, right? Something must be going on here. It doesn't matter what's going on else anywhere else in my life. It doesn't matter what I believe or don't believe. It doesn't matter how committed I am to the Lord Jesus or not. It doesn't matter whether I'm even a Christian or not. I'm coming and I'm doing this thing that God told me to do. So something good must be going on here. You know, God must be pleased with me in some way. God must be happier with me, drawing closer to me. You know, I don't really understand why. But I'm doing this thing God said. It's the sort of thing that Christians do, so it must be good, right? No. No. All right, that nothing could be further from the truth. When we read the Bible, what we find is that actually communion, taking the Lord's Supper, as we've done this morning, actually a huge amount depends on who we are and how we are coming to the Lord's table. That there's nothing automatic about spiritual blessing or the work of the Holy Spirit as we take the bread and the wine. And that, in fact, when Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he says, guys, listen, you need to understand that the way you're doing communion is doing more harm than good. And it's actually doing damage to the church. And spiritually, it's dangerous. It's causing problems between you and the Lord. And the way you're taking communion is actually bringing judgment on the life of your church. Right, see, so far from there being, you know, this being, oh, well, this must be a good thing. You know, automatically, somehow the Spirit's at work doing something here. Actually, a huge amount depends on how we approach the Lord's table. A huge amount depends on our relationship with the Lord Jesus as we come to receive the bread and the wine. And I think this idea that, you know, something automatic is going on as I read the Bible, is the mistake that the Pharisees are making. The mistake that we can so easily make with communion, the Pharisees are making with the Bible. And I fear that maybe we make the same kind of mistake. That, you know, we come and we read the Bible and we think, well, you know, in a way it doesn't even matter if I understand it or not. It doesn't matter what's going on in my life and in my heart and in my spirit as I come to the Word of God. Just the fact that I'm reading it, surely that's a good thing, right? Surely God's pleased with that. Surely the Spirit is at work somehow, even if I have no idea how that's working. And I want to suggest to you that no, that is not the case. And actually, there are ways of reading the Bible that can be incredibly damaging and that can be dangerous and that can put obstacles up in our relationship with God. And that might sound quite shocking, but the Pharisees are a case in point. That's exactly what they're doing. They're diligently studying the Scriptures, right? These are Bible guys. They've memorized pretty much the whole Old Testament. Their job is to talk about this and teach it. But actually, Jesus says, the way you read the Scriptures, it's not a good thing. And it is damaging you. It is damaging your relationship with God. It is blinding you to the truth of who I am. It's a bit like, you know the old saying, practice makes perfect? You know that's not true, right? Seriously. Because it all depends on how you practice, doesn't it? You know, perfect practice makes perfect. Good practice makes good. Bad practice just embeds bad patterns and creates problems for yourself later down the line. If you practice in a way that's bad, you're just causing problems. And I think that's what Jesus is saying here. It's like, guys, look, the way you're reading the Bible, you're causing problems for yourself. Bad Bible reading causes spiritual problems and hardens us, bizarrely, can harden us and make us resistant to what Jesus is calling us to in terms of our relationship with him. So you see, anything that we get from the Bible or anything that the Spirit of God does through the Bible, it's not an automatic thing. Okay, I'm reading the Bible, this must be good. It's a little bit more sophisticated than that. All right, now the second mistake that they're making, we stumble across in verse 44 of our reading. How can you believe? All right, we'll come back to this question of belief in a minute. But how can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? All right, what's going on here? Well, Jesus' point is very simple. It's that you cannot believe the Bible if you care more about what other people think of you than what God thinks of you. Right? In a nutshell, that's it. Now, Jesus is talking about accepting praise. There's a bit of a play on words going on there. These are Jews who come from the tribe of Judah. Judah means praise. And so there's a little bit of a kind of play on words going on. It's like, you're all about praise. Question is, whose praise are you all about? Are you about the praise that comes from other people or the praise that comes from God? Paul makes the same point in Romans 2. But the issue is, if you care more about what people think than what God thinks, you're never going to read the Bible properly. Now, why is this? Well, simply because a lot of what the Bible teaches is pretty unpopular. You know, maybe once upon a time in the UK, you might have got away with thinking that most people more or less agreed with the Bible's teaching. But, you know, we're living at a time when any pretense of that is pretty much gone. We're living in a time when the Bible is being very clearly and very obviously rejected. We're living in a time where there is a very conscious and deliberate throwing off of anything that the Bible may have contributed to the development of our culture and our social life. We're living in a time when it's not just that the Bible is no longer being taught in schools, for example, but that actually in many places it's being taught against. We're living in a time when many of us in our workplaces are finding ourselves in increasingly hostile environments in which to be a Christian, and where to say that you believe what the Bible says actually will get you into a world of trouble very, very quickly. I mean, if you follow the work of organizations like the Christian Institute or Christian Concern for Our Nation, then you will be aware of how often now in Britain, people who say they believe what the Bible teaches are losing their jobs and are being taken to tribunals and are having to fight in the courts for their right to hold as true the Bible's teaching and to express those beliefs publicly. That's the world we are living in. And if you care more about what other people think of you than what God thinks of you, and you're in a world where most people are rejecting what the Bible says, then as you read the Bible, you are going to constantly feel the tension. And you will struggle to take on board, to accept what the Bible teaches. You'll find reasons to dismiss it and to qualify it and to ignore it, because you know that if I take this on board, if I accept this, and if I live by this, and if I express this, I am going to be rejected. I'm going to be marginalized. I might face hostility. There are relationships in my life that will not survive me taking the Bible at face value. And so we don't. Because we care more about what other people think of us than what God thinks of us. See, the problem is reading the Bible, it's a relational thing. Isn't it? The Bible isn't like any other book. You know, when we read the Bible, the possibility is that the Spirit of Christ will come and will use this book to speak to us and to reveal to us the life and the mind and the heart of God in Christ. The problem is, if you're reading the Bible going, well, I'm not going to accept that, and I can't take that on board, and oh my goodness, nobody today would ever believe that. If you're constantly saying, I'm not going to listen to this, then that grieves the Spirit. And he withdraws his influence and his speaking to us through the Scriptures. If when he speaks, we say, I'm not listening, then it's only going to be a matter of time until the Spirit stops speaking to us through the Bible. And the Bible becomes silent. It becomes opaque. We read it and we find ourselves thinking, I don't know what this is all about. This doesn't mean anything to me. Now, the third problem, so, you know, they're reading the Bible thinking that there's some kind of automatic mystical thing. By reading the Bible, somehow that's connecting me to God in some automatic way. It's not. They're reading the Bible caring more about what other people think than what the Lord thinks, which means that they're not actually prepared to take on board what the Bible says. The third mistake they're making is they're not actually willing to believe what the Bible teaches. And again, we get this in verse 46, where Jesus just raises the question, doesn't he? Verse 46, if you believed Moses, right? If you believed him, they don't. That's why he's saying it. Verse 47, Jesus makes that explicit. Since you do not believe what he wrote. All right, see, it's possible to read the Bible and not believe what you're reading. And Jesus seems genuinely stunned by this. All right, he says this thing in John 5. In verse 37, he says, look, you've never heard his voice, you've not seen his form, and his word does not dwell in you. Now, why does Jesus say that? Well, in a few days, you'll read Numbers 12. And in Numbers chapter 12, the Lord is speaking about his relationship with Moses. And the Lord says, the thing about Moses is, I spoke with him face to face. I saw him. He saw my form. He heard my voice. My word dwells in him. All right? And Jesus is like, so what Jesus is doing here is he's saying to the Pharisees, guys, listen, Moses, man, I had a thing going on with Moses. It's way beyond anything you can even imagine. Like, Moses met with me in the tent of meeting, in the tabernacle. He saw my form. He heard my voice. We spoke face to face. You don't have any of that. Now, what makes you think you know better than Moses when it comes to the things of God? Like, seriously, why do you think you get to stand in judgment on the writings of Moses when he knew me so much better than you do? When I revealed to him so much more than you've ever understood? And yet you're going to stand there and think, well, you know, we're so confident in our own ideas. We're so sure of ourselves that we're going to sit in judgment and challenge what we read about in the books of Moses. So there are these three mistakes that the Pharisees seem to be making, thinking there's some automatic spiritual value in reading the Bible. Caring more about what other people think than what the Lord thinks. And actually not believing what they read. And, you know, Jesus is like, guys, this is killing you. Right? Because of this matrix of issues, you're actually not understanding what the Bible is about at all. You're missing the point of the whole of the Old Testament Scriptures. So how do we learn from that? Well, at one level, we need to just kind of make sure we're not making the same mistakes the Pharisees are making, right? You know, we need to recognize that there's nothing automatic about how we read the Bible. That we need to prepare ourselves for when we open the Scriptures, if we're going to hear the Lord speak to us through them. We need to make sure that we're going to believe what we read. We're going to take this seriously as the Word of God. We're not going to sit in judgment on it. We're going to let it sit in judgment on us. And we're going to do that even when we know that other people are going to reject us because of it. Because we care more about what the Lord thinks of us than we care about what other people think. But actually, Jesus is calling us, he's calling the Pharisees, and he's calling us to something beyond even that. He's telling us that if we are going to read the Old Testament Scriptures properly, then we need to read them understanding that they are first and foremost a book about Jesus. That's what's going on. The Old Testament is a book about Jesus. That's what the Scriptures are. The Scriptures are the Father bearing witness to the Son, painting a portrait of the Son by the Holy Spirit, holding His Son out to us through the Spirit. So let's just check something here. We've just finished reading through Leviticus yesterday. How many of us read through Leviticus, and before that Exodus, and before that Genesis? How many of us read through those books going, right, this is all about Jesus? Because if that wasn't at the forefront of your mind, chances are you're reading the books of Moses wrong. Right? Some of us read Leviticus, and we're like, how could this even be a book about Jesus? How can this ever be a Christian book, a book about Jesus Christ? But the right question to ask of every book, of every passage in every book, is, what is this teaching me about Jesus? How is this drawing me to Jesus? How is this deepening my devotion to Jesus and expanding my vision of Jesus and captivating me in worship of Jesus? How is this causing me to engage with Him? And until we have answered that question, we have not understood the Scriptures. So John chapter 5, verse 46. How can you believe? No, hang on, verse 46. If you believed Moses, you would believe me. Why? Because Moses wrote about me. What's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy about? About Jesus. All right? It's about Jesus. And not just that there's like one or two obscure prophecies dotted around that probably refer to Jesus. No, that's the main point of everything that Moses is writing about. He's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is wanting us to see Jesus. I mean, just flick back in your Bibles to John chapter 1, verse 45. All right, it's really interesting. This is one of the first times somebody introduces a friend to Jesus. And I want you to listen to the way they describe Jesus, the way they introduce Jesus to somebody. All right, John chapter 1, verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one that Moses wrote about." That's it. That's the first thing these guys are like, "Oh, you're the one Moses wrote about. We get that now." Right? That's what the books of Moses are about. And you know, I just yesterday afternoon, I sat down and read through just the first five chapters of John's gospel to see all the different ways that from the books of Moses, just from the first five books of the Old Testament, John is picking stuff up and going, yeah, you see, when Moses wrote that, he was writing about Jesus. And there's so many of them. You know, he's the creator, and the word that was spoken through which creation is brought into being. He's the word of the Lord who came to Abraham. He's the only beloved son. He's the light that shines in the darkness of creation, the one who brings life out of death. He's the fulfillment of the tabernacle. John 1:14, Jesus came and tabernacled among us. If you were there last Saturday morning, you're like, oh, I remember, it was so good. He's the fulfillment of the law. He's the fulfillment, he's the Lamb of God, the fulfillment of the sacrificial system of Leviticus, all seven sacrifices. Right? He's the second Noah. John 3:14, he's like the serpent lifted up in the wilderness. He's the angel of the Lord, the one sent from the Father. He's the second Adam. He's the heavenly bridegroom. The list goes on and on and on. Sentence after sentence, just like, yes, Moses wrote about this, and here he is, the one Moses wrote about. And it goes on way after John 5. Let me just give you one verse that just, I think, really nails this. John chapter 12, verse 41. John chapter 12, verse 41. John quotes from Isaiah chapter 6. And then he says this. He says, Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. This isn't just Moses. This is the Old Testament. Right? When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up in Isaiah 6, and the cherubim circling his head crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. We're being told that that was Christ. Before he became a human being, before the Word took on flesh, that was Christ. That is the God of the Old Testament. Yeah. If you want to just check us out elsewhere in the Bible, the Apostle Paul, Acts 26, right? Paul, the great evangelist, church planter, I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen. Acts 28, Paul witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God, and from the law of Moses and from the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus. That's what the Old Testament scriptures are about. That's what the books of Moses are about. So, you know, we're reading through the Bible. Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. Oh, but please, please, let us make sure that we are doing more good than harm as we do it. Because that's what we want, isn't it? As we read the scriptures, that's what we want. We want to meet with Jesus, don't we? We want to know the Spirit of God speaking to us in and through the Scriptures, showing us Jesus, drawing us to Jesus, captivating us with a vision of Jesus, expanding our vision of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done and what Jesus will do. We want to know the Spirit at work through the Scriptures, changing us and transforming us and conforming us to the image of Christ. That's what we want our experience of reading the Bible to be, right? Yeah? Yeah? Okay, brilliant. But so often, I don't want to put this on you guys, but so often, don't we read the Bible and we come away thinking, no idea what that was about. We come away and actually, we're not sure that the Scriptures aren't irrelevant. We're not sure that we're not more confused now than we were when we opened the book. Sometimes we're troubled and we come away uncertain as to what they mean. Well, my prayer for this morning has been that as we've listened in on this conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees, we might have begun to understand why our experience of the Word of God falls so far short of what it could be. And my prayer is that this has given us hope. It's given us hope that if we can avoid the mistakes that the Pharisees were making, maybe, just maybe, as we read through the Bible this year, we will find again and again we meet with the Lord Jesus Christ through the pages of this Spirit-inspired Word of God. Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, I thought it would be. That's it. Thank you.